O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Only today, conscious of our unworthiness, more particularly because this is a day on which thy Son went to the cross for us, we pray that as we look at that cross, may be more conscious not only of our sins, but of our salvation. We want to thank thee, O Lord, for thine unspeakable gift, even the gift of thine only begotten Son. And we pray that thou wilt help us to live this day and all the days that are ahead as those who have been redeemed from sin, as those who have already tasted a life that has the quality of eternity. We pray, O Heavenly Father, thy blessing upon all manner and condition of men. Wilt thou be with those upon whom a cross of circumstance has fallen. And for each one of us that has had this experience, wilt thou give to him that grace that will help him to make that cross of circumstance one of conscious choice, a lever that shall lift him, and not only him, but his world, and all who know and love him, to higher ground. We pray thy richest blessing, our Father, upon this fellowship, upon this student body, upon those who lead us in affairs of administration, upon the faculty, upon all our Southern Baptist family, and help us to have a deep consciousness of brotherhood with all who call thee Lord around the world. Bless him who shall speak to us today and the work which he represents, and prosper it both now and forever. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the privileges of being a member of the chapel committee is to be called upon unexpectedly to lead in the hour of worship. This is a peculiar pleasure for me today, however, since our speaker has been a good friend of mine for more than a quarter of a century. That sounds like a long time, Mr. Gaddy. It is indeed a joy to know Claude F. Gaddy, Secretary of the Council of Christian Education for North Carolina Baptists. Mr. Fisher, who is to preside today, was invited to the governor's office. I'm sure we cannot blame him for going. But we have one who is here today to speak to us, who is, in a real sense, a leader of Christian education in North Carolina. He is a layman, a citizen of Union County, who has made his reputation in public school work. He first became famous as the person in charge of the North Carolina Public School Transportation System, which was one of the first of its kind in the nation, and is still one of the most outstanding. For many years, under his direction, this system went on and on, year after year, with student drivers without a single accident. Mr. Gaddy has been leader of North Carolina education for several years. Through his efforts, the Baptists of this state have worked together in a common purpose. He is a Christian statesman, a man of vision, a man of God. We rejoice in the privilege that is ours to have him as a guest of Southeastern today. Mr. Gaddy.
Dr. Whalen, President Staley, and friends, it's a happy privilege to come spend these moments with you this morning. When I met my good friend Ben Fisher out there, fortunately, after I had already seen his good wife Sally, and she had done such a beautiful job of explaining the necessity for their being absent, I told Ben I was glad that I got her version of it rather than his. I'm fortunate this morning in that I have Brother John Whalen, a good sober Christian gentleman to present me, because I have fared much better at his hands than I would the hands of others around here. When I came in a few moments ago, my good young friend back here asked me if it would be permissible for him to record my sayings today, and I said, absolutely so. And don't we be worried about any copyright or anything of the kind. I assure you that it will be absolutely original, no quotes or anything of that sort. Because I'm choosing to come this morning and talk to you out of my heart for just a few moments, and I realize that your classes are far more important than what I may be saying. For that reason, I shall try to adhere to the time schedule. Today is a meaningful day in more ways than one, not just because it's Good Friday. And it occurred to me that it would have been far more appropriate this morning for someone, some minister, or someone who could come here and talk with you in a more significant and meaningful manner than I can about the meaning of this day to us as Christians. But I thought I would just like to be absolutely personal. I'm reminded of a little more than a year ago when I was being presented to a student body in one of the colleges, not one of our Baptist colleges though, and the young man that was to present me found himself facing some difficulties in knowing what to say, and I said, don't worry about that, just tell him when I work, if I do work, that it will be with our Baptist colleges in North Carolina. And he got up and said that much, and he said, I don't know much about this fella, and I guess it's all right, don't know much to tell you, because that when he gets up, he will talk about himself. Now, I've thought a great deal about what that young man had to say about me, and that's exactly what I will be doing a great deal of these few moments we have together this morning. And I can assure you that there's no more interesting subject to me in all the world. This means something to me. This is a significant day because I stand here in Southeastern Seminary. I thought one time I would try to tell you very briefly why I love Southeastern as I do. But maybe it would be more appropriate if I were to tell you why Southeastern Seminary means so very much to me. Personally, this campus here dates from 1834, about 126 years. It just occurs to me that it had been here as a campus, a community of learning, exactly 84 years when I enrolled as a student in 1918, 42 years ago, and my close association with this Wake Forest community has covered one-third of the period of the community as a center of learning. It is true I spent only 3 short years here because Dr. Pascal unwittingly let me take enough courses in the 3 years, and I say unwittingly, he didn't intend for it to happen, but he found me at such an advanced age that he thought that it would be all right to make an exception and let me get out at the end of 3 years, and so gave me a degree. Throughout the years, I've been coming back. It's an unusual achievement for a man to get his degree in 3 years and a wife in the same community. But that was perhaps the greatest accomplishment that I had here in those 3 years. I came back through a number of years and worked a little in the summer school term. My chief contribution to having some classes in the summer school in the Department of Education was that most of the athletes who were in difficulty with their quality points learned early in my career here that it would be easy to get those points. I made it a point usually to ask them how many they needed to get straight and had a very clear, now you talk about personal counseling, it was no difficulty whatsoever for me to get a ready response from the students in this personal counseling. They came readily and talked freely with me. And it was right here in this aisle. The first day I came, one fellow came up and said, I have two courses with you, and I've got to have A's. I've got to have 3 quality points for each of these courses if I graduate at the end of the summer term. And I said, brother, you write home and tell Uncle John and Aunt Mary and all the rest to get ready to come to commencement, because you and I are going to graduate. I haven't been invited back to Wake Forest since I got on the new campus to teach, because I understand now they're trying to have some academic standards like the seminary. Well, now here's what's happened, young ladies and young gentlemen. Those days, those years of my association with this community have given me a love for the community that is second to none anywhere in the world. I spent the first 20 years of my life on a farm down in Union County. I spent then some years, about 10 years or a little more, rambling around in a few spots, and for 29 years I've lived in the city of Raleigh. But I stand here to testify to you this morning that there is no spot on earth that holds a place in my life that this community does. And it's not just because I came here to Wake Forest College. The traditions and everything that went with my experiences here in the college community for these 14 years as I've worked, because I came into my present work on July the 1st, 1946, and it was June, July the 30th that the Baptists of North Carolina met in special session in Greensboro and overwhelmingly voted to move the college from this community to Winston-Salem. And I've watched closely as that program advanced. I do like to remind myself and fellow Baptists of the lack of vision and how we ought to find courage in that experience, because I remember there were some strong opponents to that move, not only because of breaking with tradition, but also because they did not believe it would be possible for Baptists in North Carolina to provide $6 million to remove Wake Forest College from this community to Winston-Salem without totally paralyzing all our convention activities and certainly set our other colleges back for years to come. It's interesting to note that here in that period, in these 14 years, Baptists in North Carolina have not only provided and got together from many, many sources more than $20 million to invest in the new Wake Forest College, but almost an equal sum to invest in their other 6 Baptist colleges in the state, and what started out to be a $6 million staggering program has become more than a $40 million accomplishment in these years. And what lies before us, if I had the time, I would love to just ramble a little bit with you and envision what is going to happen in this decade, this 10-year period, 1960 to 1970, in all areas. But one of the happiest thoughts of my life is that in that transition, as we faced and began immediately in that same meeting our Council on Christian Education to be confronted with this question, what will be done with the properties here in this Wake County community when the college is gone? I had a little part and a delightful part as we negotiated with Southern Baptists, as we met with the committee. I remember on one occasion, as we sat in Nashville, Tennessee, and talked with the members of that committee, tried to point out to them, and some of our people in this state said, we don't need a seminary. We need to consolidate some of our small colleges here. There are still some people who feel that way about it. But one of the most glorious experiences of my life came when it was announced that the committee had selected this site for a new Southwide seminary. And then one of the happy thoughts is that they began to look about for a president. And my soul was thrilled when they began to talk about a former pastor, one that I'd learned to love in the years. And I could tell you some experiences. I see him in here this morning. I will not be that personal to tell you some of the interesting experiences we had together as he struggled trying to find the Lord's will, and I was trying to tell it to him all at the same time. It got him awfully confused. I don't know whether he was aware of the fact or not, but the Lord and I had already settled that, and I was trying to be the Lord's speaker for him as I guided him along. I do want to tell you one little interesting event, though. Before his family came over here, after he had finally decided and consented that he would undertake that, he was staying over in my home, and I'd always tell him what kind of a seminary, after we got him stuck with it, then I began to tell him what kind of seminary we needed here. And he got so disgusted with me. I remember one night, he was younger then than he is now, he ran up the top of the stairs. And as he got to the top of the stairs, he turned back and he said, "I wish you had some sense about a seminary." He said, "All in the wide world you can think about is a little old Bible school." Well, I'm glad that he's lived long enough, and I've lived long enough, and you've lived long enough to find here in our midst this great seminary that is today in its student enrollment approximately twice the size that Wake Forest College ever achieved in its 100 years history. This is a significant anniversary, a 10th anniversary soon for the seminary. And what gives it meaning, what makes it so significant? It's the traditions that are behind it, of course, for some of us who lived here. But in the second place, one thing that makes this so significant to me and so at home for me, and such a feeling as I experience and rejoice in being here in this fellowship, is because of the men and the women, the people who have been here leading in this program for these 10 years and for the marvelous accomplishments. It's unnecessary for me to recite and review those with you because you know them almost as well as I do. I don't think there's anybody in this world who can have a greater sense of pride in what has happened and is happening here. How significant it is, men and women, that under the leadership of Dr. Staley, there has been brought to this community the type of spiritual leaders, the men, the women, who are leading us in this great and significant endeavor in the life of Southern Baptists, and that's meaningful. But I want to close with an emphasis that makes this day significant for me and for every Christian, not only throughout the Southland and the region of the Southern Baptist Convention, but to the ends of the world. And it's what's being done here to leaven the great Christian fellowship laboring under the name of Baptists throughout this world. It's distressing to me. I get very discouraged sometimes when I realize the level, the educational level of the leadership of Baptists throughout the world, North Carolina Baptists, if you please, because we are a typical Baptist group. What thrills my soul when I realize, as I heard at a recent meeting of the alumni of Southeastern Seminary, that today in the churches in North Carolina, they are serving as church leaders, as pastors, more than 500 graduates and students now in the student body and former graduates of this young institution serving as our Baptist leaders in the churches of North Carolina. I go throughout this state into these associations, particularly down through eastern North Carolina, and there I see in positions of leadership the fine young men that have been produced here that are graduates of Southeastern Seminary and that are students. It marks a new day in the level of educational leadership for our great denomination in North Carolina. When you stop and relate that to our total Baptist leadership, are you aware of the fact that perhaps one out of every five Baptist preachers in North Carolina today holding a pastorate is a product, either as a graduate or a present student from Southeastern Seminary. But I would remind you that that is not the most significant fact. The most significant thing is that perhaps one out of every three that has ever had the opportunity of education beyond high school is a Southeastern product, because it would be rather generous to say that we have 1,500 Baptist pastors of our some 26 or 700 in North Carolina that have ever had educational opportunity beyond the high school. Isn't it significant that we are here today on this Good Friday, on this significant day, to refresh our minds and our hearts with an awareness that God, in His infinite wisdom through the ages, through these years, since this little community here first became the site of Wake Forest College, how in His wisdom He has guided the thinking, our leaders, as we have moved to this good hour this morning. That's why it's a happy day for me. I've lived richly these 42 years as I've seen these expressions of love and concern for us. And I challenge you this morning, as fellow Baptists, as fellow Christians, let's take heart. Let's somehow or other take hold of the challenge that is being laid down to us from day to day, from year to year, by those who have gone before us and those who all about us are finding it necessary to step aside and ask some of us to take over. Let's not be discouraged. Let's have vision, as it were. One of the last things I read this morning before I came here was a very fine message that Gerald Johnson brought the student body of Wake Forest College some time ago, and under the theme, Gold in the Vision. And isn't it wonderful that we are here today, as it were, looking all about us, and as we let our souls become sensitive, we are aware that we are the possessors of golden treasures of the visions of the past, and that it comes our joy and our lot to garner the gold, as it were, that those who come after us may be able to find the gold in tomorrow of our visions of today. May we stand. We thank Thee, our Father, for these moments, for the sacred memories that come and hover around us, for the fellowship, the sweet fellowship that comes in the association with these our dear friends through the years, with these who have been leading in this decade of growth and progress, in the fellowship of these young men and young women who have had a vision of service in the kingdom of God, who have dedicated themselves, who are training themselves, who are trying to prepare themselves, O God, for the great service that Thou hast for them. We thank Thee for this good hour. We pray that in this Easter season, that in these days when we are thinking about the glory, the cross, and of the resurrection, that there may be within us a resurrected life, a new vision of the possibilities that God has given us. Lead us on, O God, to greater heights of service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.